John the Baptist heralds the mighty one who is coming. John teaches that preparation for God's reign is not a matter of identity, but of bearing fruits of merciful justice, radical generosity, and vocational integrity. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, O Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, during this season of Advent, we pray for patience to wait and watch for you, ears to listen for your word, hearts in which to hold you, and voices to proclaim your glory. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. You ever notice that it seems like almost as soon as Halloween is over, the multicolored Christmas lights begin to appear? Some people seem quite anxious to hang their lights as soon as possible with the goal of making their place look like Chevy Chase's house in the movie Christmas Vacation. Yeah. Inflatable Frosty the Snowman and Santas and Grinches begin to adorn yards and rooftops. Retail stores remove Halloween candies from their shelves, replacing them with candy canes and red and green wrapped Hershey Kisses. A new season of consumer buying begins. But for some of us, this is more than a time that simply bridges commercialized seasons. This is Advent, a bridge that announces the entry of God from heaven into our world. Yes, some of us cringe when we see early Christmas decorations thrown up or hear Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, and Jingle Bells being played over the public address system in stores, starting the day after Halloween. Excitement rises as the avalanche of Christmas sale catalogs arrives in many homes. We're all busy making a list and checking it twice. What store is promising the bestest price? Now understand that when this season comes, most preachers make it sound like it's like a cardinal sin to celebrate the season in a worldly sense. Hey, I like giving and getting presents and spending time with family and Christmas parties and all the tasteful decorations, just like the next person. I'm not trying to be a Grinch here. But before we get sucked up in the vortex of the commercial Christmas and all the human rituals that we create, let's do a Christmas gut check. Let's remember to focus on the real preparation, the excitement of the celebration of the day the greatest gift arrived, God in human form. One Christmas Eve, the world was full of blessings for a young public accountant finishing up his paperwork in the bank boardroom. Glancing out the window, he noticed a light snow beginning to fall. He and his partner had agreed to stop work at noon. You see, both of them still had all their Christmas shopping to do. And with joyful hearts, he began to shop the seven floors of the nearby department store. Hours passed quickly. His shopping concluded. The young man took the down escalator, arms loaded with just the right presents. This was going to be a really good Christmas. Success in his business had brought him much in the way of material blessings. Bracing himself for the cold, he pushed the store door open. Gusting wind blew the light drifts of snow over the sidewalks. The snow began to pile up in the doorways as he headed for the parking lot. Glancing at his watch, he noticed it was already 5:00. And it'd be tight, but if the traffic wasn't too bad, he'd make it home in time for their Christmas Eve feast. The beauty of Christmas window displays caught his eye. Magical moments in winter wonderlands. Christmas muzak mingled with falling snow as the sharp wind bit his ears. He hurried down the street, his thoughts once again turning to his wife and a young son, a warm home, and the delicious food that awaited him. Shielding his face from the icy sting, he began to sing to himself, "Silent night, holy night." But his mood suddenly shifted as he entered the parking garage. It would be a defining moment in his life. He came upon a man who was supporting himself up against a pillar, obviously homeless. And the accountant looked downward, trying to avoid making eye contact with the man. And that's when he noticed the man was wearing worn-through shoes with no socks. As he raised his eyes, he saw that the man had well-worn high-water pants. And the accountant continued his upward glance, noticing the stranger's shirt. It had been white at one time, now turned yellow with constant wear and no cleaning. The old man pulled his coat together, trying to keep the biting chill out. It was apparent that he hadn't shaved in days, and his frail body showed his meals were few and far between. Then the young accountant looked into his eyes. They looked so empty. They were eyes without hope. "Excuse me, sir, I'm hungry. Could you spare a dollar or two?" he asked as he reached out his hand. The question startled the young man. The warm fuzzies of Christmas disappeared in the moment. Before him was a man who did not fit in with the music ringing in the air or the minced meat pie and spiced eggnog awaiting him at home. "What should I do?" he asked himself. He stared at the man, and then he walked away. What should he have done? What would we have done? What have we done? John tells us, if you have two coats, if you have an abundance of anything, food, money, whatever, share it. That young man would forever remember the night he met Jesus. "Sir, I'm hungry. Could you spare a dollar or two?" The young man had a dollar and more. He had a coat on his back and several more at home. He could have given these blessings to the man, shared something. It can be challenging to be Christmas people, to consider all that one has as gifts from God, blessings from God to be shared with others. God had promised his servant Abraham, "Leave all, follow me, and I will make you a blessing to others." Like the young man who could list many excuses not to help this homeless man begging on the streets, Abraham could have listed his excuses not to do as God asked. "My wife won't like being uprooted. She's comfortable here. Nice tent, friends, family, support system." But Abraham stepped out in obedience to God. The result? Blessings that have been given to all generations. His example of trust and faith in God, who cares and provides for the faithful followers, still stands for us to see. Abraham didn't ignore God's call to step out of his current comfort zone. He trusted God's call, not knowing what would happen. And we, in this future, are now blessed to be blessings. Jesus fervently desires us to be thankful people, people in the world, but not of the world. Not people so distracted by the world that we fail to see the needs of those around us. We are called to be people willing to give out of love, people who see a need, a person with no socks, no coat, no hope, who won't turn the other way simply because it doesn't fit into their plans. As Christians, we are called to look beyond our own needs to the needs of others. And it's not just providing for the genuinely poor among us from our advantages. It's also in how we treat others in our daily walk and remembering why we have been given so much. In the case of the young accountant, so richly blessed, he did not know at that time his source of blessings. His life had been focused on living for number one, himself. But that Christmas Eve encounter changed his life. 6 years later, he left his job to become a pastor. And he continues to reflect on that night he met Jesus in a parking garage, turned and walked away, his coat still on his back and plenty of money in his pocket. Nora rushed into the gym. She was late. The women were already dishing up the soup. Items of used clothing lay in neat stacks on metal tables. White elephant articles from garages, basements, and attics were piled up on one end of the court. Craft items took up the tables along the bleachers. Jen had set up her candles and Tyler his unique split wood carvings. The smell of spiced apple cider permeated the building as the community gathered for the local Christmas bazaar. "Sorry I'm late, ladies," Nora apologized, "but you know Roy. He wanted me to fix his lunch before I fix it for someone else." And knowing Roy was a nag about his schedule, the ladies smiled, and shaking their heads in agreement. As the afternoon progressed, the pile of clothes and treasures decreased. An elderly woman finished her soup and rose to leave. She had found a nice wool coat, and it was red, her favorite color. And she had just enough money to buy it. After paying the cashier, she discarded her worn-out, matted coat, and she smiled as she slipped her arms into the much newer, much warmer winter coat. And then she headed for the door. "Nora, hey, Nora!" voice cried out. "Isn't that your coat walking out the door?" Nora turned from clearing the tables to see the old woman opening the front door. And yes, that was her red coat she was wearing. "Hey, wait a minute," Nora called out, dashing to the exit. The woman abruptly stopped. Embarrassed and confused, she turned to see Nora running toward her. "Please, please, hey, wait a minute," Nora said. And stopping by a table, Nora picked up a red and black crocheted hat. "This hat will go perfectly with your new coat." "But I got no more money," the woman answered with downcast eyes. Nora said, "Consider it an early Christmas present." Nora beamed and handed her the hat. "In fact, I think this scarf will go with that hat too. Take them both." The elderly woman smiled. "The hat will do me well. My mama always told me that you lose a lot of heat up there if the head isn't covered." She chuckled as she put on her hat. "And thanks for the scarf. I do look pretty spiffy, don't I?" Nora said, "You sure do. Have a wonderful Christmas." The woman smiled, turned, and went out the door. Returning to clean up, Nora's friends asked, "Well, did you get your coat back?" No, I didn't, but no need to worry, Nora answered. I happen to know that Roy put a big fancy wrapped box under the tree for me, and I'm pretty sure it's that black leather coat I've been hinting about. But that red coat looks so good on you. I could chase the woman down and tell her we made a mistake, her friend said. Now, don't get upset, Sandy. You see, one of my Advent devotions asked how we might help our neighbor, how we who are blessed can be a blessing to others. And Sandy smiled and said, well, God just answered your prayer. In the remaining days of this Advent season, pray that God interrupts your plans and gives you the opportunity to be Christ's presence to others. I assure you, God will answer those prayers. Remember the young accountant who wouldn't take off his coat and give it to someone in need. Remember the praying church worker who gave the coat from her back to someone who had none, who really needed it. Remember what John says to us. Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. As people of hope and plenty, we are called to give hope as well as share from our abundance. Advent is a time of blessing. Let us be blessed by blessing others. When we encounter Christ, even in the most unlikely people and places, and we will, if we'll be open to his presence, we will never be the same. And remember what I said is the Bible passage that I think should define who we are at Christ Lutheran. It's from Matthew 25. Remember that citation. Matthew 25. Come you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Let us continue our Advent vigil. And may we become more aware of those moments when we encounter Christ. Amen.